Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 402. If you'd like to have a copy of it, we'll send you one free of charge. Actually, we pay for the postage and handling as well. Sharon will tell you how to receive one at the end of the program. Make sure you have your paper and pencil ready. It's program 402. 402. We have some singing. We've got some Bible reading. We've got some testimonials. We have a lot of explanation of the Word of God. And did I say music? Yeah, we have music. And this is by the Golden Gate Quartet. And we have some music here by the Dixie Hummingbirds as well. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to take over, to be the power within us. Lord, by faith, we receive that You're going to do this service. Do it, Father God, that when we pray, Lord, we ask that You bless us, that You anoint this service, and that You come against every evil force of darkness that's in this world. Lord, we pray that You establish Your kingdom here on earth, and the way that You do it is by entering people's bodies with Your Spirit. We know that the kingdom of heaven cometh not with, it doesn't come with observation. People can't see it really being formulated, because the Spirit enters into, Your Spirit enters into our body, Jesus, with the Father, by the Spirit, and then the kingdom of heaven begins to be established in the human body. And then by faith, by the power of God, faith in the power of God and the power of Your blood, we can begin growing, and we continue growing until we are able to dispense the Holy Spirit as I am right now doing, into others, so that when the Spirit enters into them by faith, the power of God enters into them by faith, then that establishes the kingdom of heaven in them. We know, Lord, that this is the way that the kingdom of heaven is being established right here on earth. Your will is that your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So You want Your kingdom to be established here, and this is the way You overrule Satan's unlawful rule of this world. He took it by lying to people, and he continues to lie. His lies are even more just as deadly today as they were in the day that he told them to Eve and she received it. He is not God, and either are we. Father, we pray that You will show everyone in this broadcast that You are God and that we are men and that we are not gods. Satan said we were, but he's a liar and the father of it. He cannot do anything else but lie. And Lord, that You take over my lips, my tongue, and that everything that is said here will bring people closer to the truth. It is said in the book of Daniel that in these last days the truth would be thrown to the ground, and that is what is happening. Your word, the Bible, is truth, and they've thrown it down out of the schools and out of the federal government agencies, and children are killing one another. There are mass murders of people aborting children. This is first-degree murder. And Lord, You've made a covenant with us, and if we keep it, we'll spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven, and Your covenant is that we don't break any commandment. And Lord, we pray that this will hit home in the hearts of people out in the world and in the church, that no adulterer, no fornicator, no liar, no homosexual, no lesbian shall enter the kingdom of heaven. All of us need to repent. Everyone, I did, Lord. I repented of my sin, all my sins, and everyone must as well. in order to be in the kingdom of heaven. I praise and thank you, Lord, for the power. We, the body of Christ, are a wheel, just as Ezekiel saw it. And you are in the midst of us, which is the wheel within the wheel. And by faith, the big wheel goes, which is the church, goes by faith. And the little wheel goes because it is the power of God that we have faith in. And here, Father God, we thank you and praise your holy name that you're going to save souls and the church is strengthened in the name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now the Dixie Hummingbirds are one of my favorite group. And they're going to sing for you, Ezekiel Saw the Wheel. And what it is he saw the future church of Christ, which is the wheel. And in there, there's another group that sings this song with different words. It's the Fisk Jubilee Singers, and they say, the big wheel moves by faith, and the little wheel, which is the wheel within the wheel, is the power of God. By the power of God, they say the grace of God, but it's the power of God. Grace means power. But anyway, the Dixie Hummingbirds sing it just a little bit different. They use different words. I guess it's the second and third verse. But here it is, the Dixie Hummingbirds singing, Ezekiel saw the wheel, the church with Christ in the midst of the church in the sky.
Ezekiel saw the wheel,
way in the middle of the air.
Ezekiel saw the wheel,
he saw that wheel
in the middle of the air.
Ezekiel saw the wheel,
he saw that wheel,
way in the middle of the air.
Ezekiel saw the wheel in the middle of the air.
Oh, one of these mornings about 5 o'clock,
in the middle of the air.
Don't go well,
it is so well, it go really wrong, you know.
In the middle of the air,
yes,
Ezekiel saw the wheel.
He saw that wheel.
Where in the middle of the air, Ezekiel saw the wheel. In the middle of the air.
I've told you once and I've told you twice.
You know,
in the middle of the air.
Sounds going to hell for rolling in the ice, you know.
In the middle of the air,
yes,
Ezekiel saw the wheel.
He saw that wheel.
Where in the middle of the air,
Ezekiel
saw the wheel. In the middle of the air.
Oh, when I get up on the mountaintop,
in the middle of the air.
Oh, going to make a move and go flip in the flock, you know.
In the middle of the air,
yes,
Ezekiel saw the wheel.
He saw that wheel.
Way in the middle of the air, Ezekiel saw the wheel. In the middle of the air.
Okay, the big wheel moves by faith. The little wheel moves because it's the power of God. You know, the little wheel is like the smallest seed in the garden. You know, that's the mustard seed. It doesn't make any difference. All seeds are pretty small. But if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed in the power of God, by faith, then you're saved. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the Bible says, you know, the Lord made a covenant with us in the Old Testament, and the Jews broke that covenant. Moses got really uptight at him. He came down from the mountain and saw that they were dancing and singing and playing. And so he got upset because they were committing fornication, which is against the Ten Commandments. And so Moses, and God had already told him what the Ten Commandments were. Amen?
Amen.
And so Moses broke the covenant, the actual promise of God, the law of God. He just broke it, and God wrote it with his own finger. But the Bible plainly states the covenant that we're signing now in the New Testament, Jesus signed it with his own blood. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. That is the only commodity in the universe that will take away all the sins that we've committed before, our former sins. And when we receive the blood of Jesus by faith, that's how the big wheel that Ezekiel saw moves. That's how we are able to move from this world into the kingdom of heaven. And when we receive the blood of Jesus, that take by faith, the blood is applied to our souls and every sin that we ever committed in our life. Our former lives is washed away and drowned in the sea of God's forgetfulness, and he never remembers it against us again. And then the Holy Spirit enters into us when we ask the Lord to come into us, and so the little wheel, or the grain of mustard seed, the faith that we have in the power of God, enters in. So it's a wheel. And that's what these flying saucers are all about. They're symbolic of everybody, come on, get the little wheel into you, get the faith of the grain of mustard seed in you, because I'm coming back to earth again. And that's what the flying saucers, and the Lord is imploring his people, his preachers, teachers, evangelists, and prophets, to explain that to the people in the world so they'll stop sinning, because the New Covenant states that if you break one sin, you've broken them all. All right? And that's why he said they were out there playing, just carrying on, committing all kinds of sins, worshiping that idol, the golden calf. And then the Lord wanted to kill him. He wanted to destroy him, and that's when Moses went in the gap. He went in and he said, Father, if you kill him, everybody's going to say that you brought him out in the wilderness to kill him. And he said, the Lord's let him know that I'm going to kill him, but I'll kill him little by little. Before they got to the Promised Land really soon, and they sent witnesses in there, and only two of them stated they should go in, and the rest of them all stated, no, that the giants over there are too big. They had already forgotten that God had annihilated Egypt, the entire Egyptian army. Pharaoh and his chariots that took the firstborn out of every family. It gave them 10 different plagues, and they thought that giants, tall people, just because they're tall. You know, there's so many people that make it look like tall people are something. All it is they're more bulk. They're just bulk. More dirt, more nothing, according, because the Lord took a little guy like David and killed this bulky, big honyok. And he hit the ground, and then he went over and cut his head off. And the Lord, to show that bulk is nothing, he ran these giants out of the land of milk and honey with a little insect, a hornet. They just were stinging these big dummies. And that's, you know, what we all are. It's like the Bible says, we don't know anything. Amen?
Amen?
And the Apostle Paul thought he knew a lot, but he says, I know nothing now except Christ and him crucified, because there isn't anything that we can know that is of any value except the knowledge of Christ, which is incorporated within his word. From the Old Testament to the New. The entire Old Testament is talking about Jesus and he coming to earth. God coming to the earth as a man. And it states in the, of course, you know, most everybody that's read the Bible, they know that the book of John says, in the beginning was the Word. I mean, that's in the very beginning. And in the beginning, it says, God created the heavens and the earth. This world was not around billions of years ago. The Bible says that in the beginning, which was approximately a little over 6,000 years ago, God created the earth. In the beginning! Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm going, you know, somebody rings my doorbell and I begin to go towards the door, it's right now. Amen?
Amen.
And so the Lord is meeting right now, and he talks about 7 different days. And he calls them, and it happened over millions of years. It says the morning in the evening, or the evening in the morning was the first day. Amen?
Amen.
So he tells us in increments exactly what a day is. It's a 24-hour day. So, you know, on the first day, the second day, the third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth day, God created everything. And then he rested on the seventh day. And resting means Sabbathing. That's the day of rest. In the New Testament, the Lord tells us that we have to come to him now and rest from all the work that we do. All the work of mankind. But now he says that we must come unto him, take up our cross, deny ourselves on a daily basis, and come unto him and let him do his work in and through us. And James, the apostle, who is the Lord's brother, half-brother, because Jesus' father was God himself, who is also God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one. And so the Lord tells us through his word that James says, oh, you say that you have faith. And he says, I'll show you that I, he says, I'll show you my faith. He says, by my works. He says, faith without letting the Lord do his work in and through you is dead. If you don't let God do his work in and through you, you don't have faith. It's dead. Amen?
Amen.
And so you can read the book of James. You know, there's a little bit of it that I could start reading myself right here. I'm legally blind, but I have a scene machine here that I'm able to blow up the words on my Bible to probably 100, 200, 300 times bigger than they really are. Verse 1 in chapter 2 says, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. You're not supposed to be partial with people. If, and the Lord tells us to reprove, to rebuke, and to give honor to them that deserve honor, and to those that don't deserve honor, don't give them honor. And don't be partial with that. Now, you know, the world government, the Antichrist cult, the Antichrist himself, is the Roman Catholic cult. Well, first it's the devil that gives the Roman Catholic Church, or cult, its power and to run the world government and the news media. Everything is federal communication system and all this type of thing. So we that are the brethren, in other words, you're not a brother. This is not to unsaved people. This is to the brethren. He says, my brothers, don't hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of glory, with partiality. In other words, rebuke and reprove everybody. And honor all men by preaching the gospel to every man. That's why I preach to the president, I preach to the pope, I preach to everybody. It says honor all men. The greatest honor you can give them is to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to preach the method, the way that it is that you must get into the kingdom of heaven. There's only one name given among men whereby you must be saved, and that's the man Christ Jesus. Now, a lot of people hold that truth in contempt because they belong to other religions. But the other religions are nothing more than chaff. Religion cannot get you into the kingdom of heaven. It was not religion that died on the cross and shed his blood for yours to take your sins away. And so I can't be partial by saying, oh, you know, I heard a minister, Rex Humbard. Susie was very ill in Tulsa. I was sitting in the house that we had there, and I was watching the news, and all of a sudden Rex Humbard comes on, and we're friends. You know, we were, you know, I still am his friend. That's why I'm rebuking him, because I don't want to show partiality to him, because forget, you know, worldly manners. I can't go according to that, because God's not going to have any mercy on me if I don't on him. They asked him, can people get into the kingdom of heaven any other way than Jesus? He said, oh, yes, there are many other ways. And I says, my God, here I've let that man in my house, and we've been out to dinner with him and everything else. And he is a distant relative of my late wife, Susie, who passed away April 8th, 1982. But, you know, chapter 2 of the book of James says brothers, and that means brothers and sisters, don't hold the faith because the big wheel moves by faith. Amen?
Amen.
Faith in what? The little wheel, which is the Word of God. It says, believe on the Word of God and thou shalt be saved. No, it says, the Lord, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word. And that's the very beginning of all time. And that was when the day that God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Which is God, which is Jesus, the Son of Man. He's called the Son of Man because it was a woman that God impregnated with His Holy Spirit. She was a young woman. She had just reached puberty, which was around 12 years old. It doesn't make any difference what the beast says, the Antichrist. Of course, they're going to say that that's sin. And somebody's going around saying that I said that God committed a sin, that he had sexual relationships with a young girl. No, the Spirit of God entered her womb just like it does. It enters human hearts, human spirits, and we become one in Christ Jesus at that time. But in her, the Word became flesh. And the Lord instructs young women to get married, and a woman becomes a woman when she reaches puberty. Okay, it doesn't make any difference. There, you know, even when the world was the United States were semi-godly, the legal marriage age of women was, you know, when they reached puberty. You can read the Webster Dictionary. It says puberty is when a woman reaches puberty is when she can have a child. And that means when she reaches the time of her period and she has blood in her that can nourish a child inside. But anyway, the Lord of Glory was born into this world in a young Jewish maiden. She was impregnated by the Almighty God Himself, the Holy Spirit. And that is what Catholics call the Immaculate Conception. That's true. And they just recognize, they just keep a little bit of truth in them so they can deceive people. Because, you know, a good counterfeit bill is very hard to detect. That's no joke. And so they counterfeit what the Bible says the truth is. They mention Jesus, but they add, they don't say that he must live in you, and if they do now, they still don't keep his word. There's so many things, I don't have time on this program to tell you the things. Read my literature and you'll see, and read the testimonials of millions of others that know how corrupt that cult is. It's the actual Antichrist. And so We are not to be partial. We are to honor all men by preaching the gospel to them the way it really is. We must tell them that if you sin, there's not one sin going to enter the kingdom of heaven. If you continue sinning, you will not make it. For if there should, this is verse 2, should come unto into your assembly a man with a gold ring or gold rings, fine apparel, in other words, they're dressed real nice, and you can tell they've got money. And there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes. It says, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothing and say to him, hey, brother, you come over here and sit up front where I am in a goodly place. Because I know if I treat you nice, you're going to give me some money. That's really what it's all about. And you say to the poor man, you stand over there in the back, okay? We don't want to get the chairs in here, the seats dirty. You know, you need to go home and take a bath. Or sit over here at my footstool, at my feet. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Why is it evil? Because the Lord tells you to treat everybody as though they are the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody. Now, this man that put up some steel buildings over here for me, he told me that his pastor dressed up in filthy rags and put a hat over his head and was leaning on a building where everybody had to come into his church. And he was sitting there looking very weak and feeble, and he said everybody passed by him and wouldn't do anything. So he came in the back door, got on the platform, and stood there and said, "You people are of your father, the devil. You didn't follow what the Lord said, and if you break one commandment, the covenant of the Lord says if you break one commandment, you've broken them all." So there's some people that you don't like the way they comb their hair, or they, you know, they are not pretty or handsome. And the new covenant is 100% our security if we continue doing the things that the new covenant, the New Testament, says. Now, the new covenant means a new contract that God has with people. And he tells us if we break one commandment, you've broken them all. So suppose we keep the new covenant. If we do, we get to go to heaven. But if you break one of these rules or regulations, if you look at a woman with lust in your eyes, if you commit incest, if you're a homosexual, you're not going to heaven, because that's in the contract, pal. Amen?
Amen.
That's in the contract. Now, the people of the Old Testament, they transgressed the Old Testament. So the Old Testament people did not keep that contract, so God had to send his only begotten Son into this world, who was tempted in every possible way that there was for people to be tempted, just as we are. It's common to everybody. The Lord says that he's not going to allow the devil to tempt you more than any other person on the face of this earth. And so he says, but the angels in the kingdom of heaven sinned. And when they did, God shows that he's not partial. He threw them out. One-third of the angels in heaven. So who do you think you are? Amen?
Amen.
If angels, God wouldn't even put up with disobedience from angels in heaven and his own chosen people, only two people of the old people that God took out of Egypt made it into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb, and the rest of them were around 20 years old or younger. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so God doesn't show any partiality, and he hasn't repented. This is the New Testament, and the New Testament is even stronger. You can't keep being born again and then born again and born again and born again. You're born into the world once. And that's it. You're not going to get reborn into the world. You're just born once. But Jesus said you have to be born one more time. You have to be born again. And he says if people, after they've been born again, they tasted the good things, read Romans chapter 1, and you'll see that if you tasted the good word of God, and you've tasted the Spirit of God, the power of God, the wheel within the wheel, if you are faithful and you stay in that wheel, because there's perimeters there, there's boundary line there, you can't get out of the wheel. If you get out of the wheel, then you're floating around in space, and the New Testament says you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, people, you know, Satan has told you that you're a god and that you're an entity of your own, and the world keeps telling you, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. But the whole world, people are like these kids, just I saw on the news tonight, three of them hung themselves. One on the same lamppost. One week, the next week, or the next few days, another one hung himself on the same lamppost. And another one hung himself on a lamppost. And they all died. They're dead. Because they don't have, they don't know what the new covenant says. They don't know that if you murder even yourself, that you're going to hell. Well, the parents will rise up and say, look, you have to treat us right. You have to say smooth things to us. But no, the Bible, you know, there's more than your three kids in the world. I have to show people, according to the new covenant, and according to the Lord's half-brother James, that we can't be partial. I can't tell you something that isn't true. But the angels in the kingdom of heaven sinned, and they were cast out of heaven and are in chains of darkness now, right now, waiting to be cast into the lake of fire. Now, it seems like the more you preach the gospel today, the more that people just keep believing, because they're living in a world where there's every kind of a crime, every kind of wantonness, every kind of, it's the people making the decisions. It doesn't make any difference if God says, the mob tells you what's right. This is democracy. You know where democracy comes from? It comes right out of the Antichrist. The Roman Catholic, people call it the church, but it's the cult. The most dangerous cult in the world. Now, I am being not partial. I'm telling the people of the Roman Catholic Church what God says. He says, get out of there. Don't believe what they say. Believe the Bible. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the word of God, and thou shalt be saved. So these angels are waiting for the day when they are going to be placed in hell and in the lake of fire. Now there's the security of the new covenant, but only, now read this, believe this, only if you keep the new covenant. And the new covenant says if you sin, then you're like a dog that's gone, you know, if you sin willingly, knowingly, then you're like a dog that has gone back to your own vomit, and you're like a sow that's gone back to the wallowing in the mire. So it tells you that you're going into the kingdom of God, the land, the eternal land of milk and honey, only if you keep the new deal, the contract with the Lord. And you have to make yourself do it. He's not going to come down and make you do it. Then you'd be a robot, and the Lord doesn't want robots in the kingdom of heaven. So we read in Matthew 26, chapter 26, verse 28, you'll see that it says, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But the people today are teaching, yeah, but you can keep sinning and the Lord will keep being, letting you be born again and born again and born. No, he says you're born into the world and you're born one more time. That's it. He told Nicodemus you have to be born one more time. Born again. Amen.
Amen.
This verse reveals that the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is the blood of the new covenant. Now, this is such a contract that the actual precious blood of God come in the flesh himself signs that contract, and you must drink that blood and eat his flesh. Now, if you drink the blood of Jesus, then you are keeping the new covenant. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 6 tells you,
but for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but
yeah, he didn't spare them. Did you hear that? Mm-hmm. He didn't spare the angels in heaven. They were a little higher than we are. Amen?
Amen.
And he cast them down. Okay, keep reading.
For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness.
What do you mean, cast them down? Well, they're, their time is not any big deal with the Lord because he's always going to be alive. You know, he's never going to die. So they're in hell, I mean, knowing that they're going to be in hell forever. They're in hell. Amen?
Amen.
Because, see, when we get saved, we are immediately, in the body of Christ, and we're sitting with him in heavenly places. And they're in hell, chained in darkness, waiting for the day of judgment, to where the hell, death and hell, will be cast into the lake of fire. Then what?
And delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the
So he spared not the old world?
Yes.
That means he drowned everybody in the world. There was no partiality there. He just drowned everybody except righteous Noah, his wife, his three sons and their wives. That's all. Everybody else went to hell. They're waiting there for the day of judgment to throw them, cast them into the lake of fire. They're moaning and crying, and they're without food or water or rest right now. And they've been there a long time, all those that were wiped out by God in the flood. Now, it's not Mother Nature that's doing these things. The Lord brags about doing it and tells you that we're going to go through the tribulations. And you see all these false prophets saying that we're not going through the... Read Matthew 24. It says that the Lord's coming back to earth again immediately after the tribulations. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Children? Then what?
And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes.
Now, this is New Testament where she's reading from. It's 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. Okay, then what?
And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes.
Yeah, these were the homosexuals. He turned them into ashes. And the Bible says that these are our examples. Amen?
Amen.
To show you what God doesn't like. All right? And this is the new covenant written in his blood. He said, this is examples to show you that you don't do this if you want to go to heaven. All right?
Amen.
You don't commit fornication, sexual immorality, or adultery. Okay? Because you can look convicted and then after the message, just go ahead and then forget that you were convicted by the Spirit of the Lord. And then just put it out of your mind. But know this, that there is coming a day of judgment, just like there will with these angels, a third of the angels of heaven that were cast out of heaven, okay, by the angel. Then what?
Turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow.
He condemned them. Now, he also has condemned this world. It's got a condemnation sign on it. It's going to be wrecked here. Okay? Just like when you see there's a building going to be wrecked, the Lord, the people here on earth put a sign out there. It's condemned. Don't go into it because we're going to blow it up. You might be in there while we do it. They put signs up on the desert where they're going to be doing some atomic bomb blasting. They say, don't come near here because you're going to be, you know, a walking Geiger counter. You know, you're going to be filled with all the contamination and radiation from this a bomb blast. Then what?
Making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly.
In other words, it's telling to those that do the same thing after they did. And that's the new test. That's right now. So you think you can sin and get away with it? You're deceived. Okay, you get away with it now for a while. You think you got a long life, but you were young just a little while ago, and now you're old. Or you're young, you know, you were 5 years old or 3 or 4 or 5 years old just a few seconds ago, and now you're 20, 21, 22. You know, time goes by fast. We're vapory. We're grassy. We're shadowy. We're like shadows. We appear for a moment. We're like vapors. We appear for a moment, and then we're gone. But we're not gone. We're going to live somewhere afterwards. The Spirit is going to live forever in heaven. if you kept the new covenant written in the Lord's blood, or if you didn't, you're going to still live somewhere forever, and that's in hell in the lake of fire. Okay? This is what the Bible says. And you think that's a joke, you're going to find out how much of a joke it is. It's no joke. I saw a vision the Lord gave me of flames. Could see the shadow of flames on a purplish-colored brick wall. It was like in a house, and it was like to the left of me. I said, God, don't let me see hell. I could feel the power in there. It was like a powerful force of fire that was just keeping people cemented in hell forever. It's like, I don't know if you've ever felt the power of flames or heat, but it's so intense that there's no getting out. There's no exits. There's no, and the pain is so bad that it's beyond, you know, it's just weeping, gnashing on the teeth, but it's beyond, it's so, I've heard the people saying, oh my God, it's true. Why did we not believe it? We're here and we're here forever. We're here forever. What's fornication worth that, to spend eternity there, or adultery, or being a homosexual, or a lesbian, or a liar? Do you think that lying, so, you know, that you don't, you want to make yourself look like you're so good and you never confess your sins, do you think that being in a place like that where it's, oh my God, and they were screaming to the top of their lungs? And I said, God, don't let me see, because I didn't think I was in the best of health back then. That's when I was 30 years old and the Lord saved my soul. And I'm so happy that he did. You know, giving up this world is nothing in comparison to the glory and the glorious vacation, the greatest and most incredible vacation spot in the whole universe, the kingdom of heaven, where there's no pain. No, growing old, you're always young there, and you're always perfect too, and it's glorious, you're always happy. If lost ones, you won't think of any person as lost, because there's no memory of anybody that went to hell in hell. And there was a woman in our church that said she wouldn't want to go to heaven if mama's not going to be there. And so she put on her red dress and red high heel shoes. She was a bum. She was a former prostitute. And she went to some beer joint and got tight and passed out behind a jukebox. And she said she had a vision of hell there. And she said it right in our church. Her name was Tyra St. Clair. She's not embarrassed about saying that. She says it all the time. I don't know if she's still living or not. But she says, these high heel shoes are made out of steel. And she said, I'd have walked in my mother's face to get out of there. And I'd punch her eyes out with those high heels to get out of there. If mama wants to go to hell, let her, but I'm not going with her. Okay? Because the new covenant, the new promise, God always keeps his promises. His promises is true. His entire word is true. He said, if you transgress, if you come down off that cross, if you commit adultery or fornication, if you do not confess your sins, if you're a liar, and you say you've had all kinds of affairs and everything, you never confess it, the sins are still on your soul. And if you're a homosexual and you don't, you know, you may say you're gay, but you're not gay. I know a bunch of you people when I was in the garment district. I met a lot of you, and you're not happy. Some of you commit suicide, and you're committing suicide by having sex with them. It's spiritual, eternal suicide. Okay, Michelle, read 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21.
For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Now, this is the Word of God, okay? This is part of the new covenant. This is a promise here, okay? Now, there's a group called the Promise Keepers, but this is the promise of God, not these people that call themselves the Promise Keepers, because God is the Promise Keeper. All right, now finish it.
If they are again entangled therein and overcome.
If you get entangled again with the world and you believe, you know, that you're not going to pay any penalty for it, you're going to be like the people of the Old Testament. Now the Lord has, who used to just shed animals' blood because they could be forgiven every year. But that's impossible now. Impossible. Okay, keep going.
The latter end is worse with them than the beginning.
Right, you know why? Because seven devils more that worse than the ones that were, the one that was cast out of them in the beginning is going to be put into them. And the last state of them is worse, because then it's impossible for you to be forgiven again. Because you can't be born again. Born again and again and again. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead. Keep reading.
For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they.
Yeah, it'd be better that you didn't know the new covenant than for you to know it and receive it and say that you're going to keep it and then do what you're doing now. Or do what you did, and you're not confessing it. Okay, go ahead.
For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them.
And the Bible says, no liar shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So if you're still lying and you're not confessing it, well, then there's no forgiveness of sins. Okay, now go into Hebrews chapter 10, everybody. Go ahead.
Verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there.
Ah, okay. This is the covenant now. This is the new covenant. If you sin willfully after having the knowledge of the truth,
yes.
Okay, then what?
There remaineth no more sacrifice.
There remains no more forgiveness or sacrifice for you. Because the Lord isn't going to come back and die again and again and again for you so you can be born again and again and again. He died once, and he says, I'm alive now forevermore. I'm not going to die again for you. Okay, that's why you have to be very, very, very careful and read the new contract, the new covenant, the new contract, the new deal that God makes with you. Okay, then what?
There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment.
Yeah, but most people try to put that out of their mind. They after they hear the message, they say, well, and then they turn on television or something and start listening to something else. They're not seeking TV to find out all the sins that are going on or to hear the things that they're saying about government and everything so that ministers can preach it. They're just on there digging on filth and corruption and everything. Okay, read that last line again.
But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation.
It's a certain, it's a promise. The Lord, through the apostle that wrote Hebrews, is promising. There's a certain fearful what?
Looking for.
Looking forward to the day of judgment, right?
Yes.
Read it.
But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. Which shall devour the adversaries.
Which will devour those that are coming against the church of God. Look, if you're coming against the church of God, you're coming against the word of God, if I were the Pope or and all the people in the Vatican that took the Bible out of schools and said that it's dangerous rather than your filthy, rotten Roman canon law, if I were you, I'd get that Bible back in there. And I'd start teaching the children in the schools and people in the government, because there really is not supposed to be any separation between church and government, because God is the government. God, not this government, but God is the final judge, the final government. So what we better do, folks, is to get everything done according to the government of God, because he's not partial. You may think, you know, because your mother told you you were nice and she cute and all that, but the Lord says that there's no slip of the tongue here with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We are able by his power, his spirit in us, to control by faith the tongue. You're not supposed to be saying dirty lies about people that you know are lies. You're not supposed to hire liars to stand up in court against the people of the Lord. You're not supposed to do that. That's the way the people of the Old Testament used to do, and they're worse now than they ever have been, even after they've heard the covenant of the Lord, the new covenant, written in the blood of Jesus. Because they can't stop from sinning in the Old Testament, but now we have the power of God living in us, in Christ, to giving us the ability to keep the commandments. And therefore, that's why you're inexcusable if you have that power in you and you have the Word of God in you and you commit sin, then you're unexcusable. And don't listen to anybody that says that God's, who came in the flesh, His blood will forgive you for the past, former sins, today's sins, and future sins. Because a lot of people are saying they feel that they go, if it's a sin of ignorance, yes. But it says, if you willingly do that, amen?
Amen.
Okay. To where we must, in Christ, we are able to keep all the commandments to where we, that way we're keeping the new covenant. Because if we break the covenant with the Lord, you know, there's only two people that got into the promised land that were of the old batch. And there's only eight people that made it into the new world after the Lord drowned the old world. Amen? So the way is straight and narrow, and few shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And if we fall away from the new covenant, well, then we fall back under the law of God, which only condemns us. The law isn't done away with. Jesus said He came to fulfill the law. We've been forgiven of our old former sins, so therefore we're no longer under the condemnation of the law, so long as we keep the new covenant. If we break the new covenant, we're back under the law, and the law condemns you. It's the law that God wrote with His own finger. And, you know, if you did that, well, you can, ignorantly, well, then you can be forgiven right now. If you're not born again of the Spirit, you can be born again of the Spirit now. Remember, you're not going to be born again and born again. This is one-time thing, okay? You say, well, I don't know if I can make it. You can make it with the Spirit of God. If you're calling Him a liar, well, then you're not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. Now, believe that He's telling the truth and say this prayer. Say it unto the Lord. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because Your Word says so. You are the Word. You said, all that call upon You, that You will not turn anyone away. Therefore, I know that You have heard me, and I know that You have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And now, Sharon, tell them four different ways that they can receive a copy of this program, program number 402, free of charge.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. Now, swing down, sweet chariot means swing down, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what takes this up. It's like a chariot. Right after we gone on to be with the Lord, but it takes us up on the final day. We're reunited with our old body, and it's turned into a new body. That's where it's called the redemption of the body. and the chariot is going to swing down and take us up, those of us that are saved. Here's the Golden Gate Quartet, and make sure to tune in tomorrow. This is World Pastor Tony Alama saying, tune in tomorrow and listen to another powerful message. Swing down, sweet chariot, the Golden Gate Quartet.
Swing low.
Swing.
Swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rockin' Lord, come and ease it. I got a home on the other side. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rockin' Lord, rockin' Lord, come and ease it. I got a home.
In the middle of the field, he said he saw an angel with a chariot wheel. He wasn't so particular about the chariot wheel. He just wanted to see how a chariot feels.
Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Come and ease it. I got a home.
Ezekiel went down and got on board. The chariot went bumping on down the road. Zeke wasn't particular about the bumping of the road. He just wanted to lay down his heavy load.
Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Come and ease it. I got a home.
Well, I got a father in the promised land.
I won't stop until I shake his hand.
Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Come and ease it. I got a home on the other side. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Come and ease it. I got a home on the other side.